Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're talking again
about body swapping. Two boy, two boy, two white,
and back again.
Hi, I'm Paul Mitzi.
I'm Lucy Thomas.
I'm Brendan Levi.
And we are the Swapcast Podcast. Every episode we watch an entry in the body swap movie genre and break it down for you. This week we are watching the 2004 mystery, Birth, starring Nicole Kidman, Lauren Bacall, Anne Heche, Cameron Bright, and Danny Houston, in which a widow for 10 years, Anna, is looking forward to getting engaged until she becomes convinced that a 10-year-old boy is the reincarnation of her dead husband. Ooh. As always, we love to hear from our listeners, so slide into our DMs on Insta, send us an email, or chuck us a review on iTunes so we can get to 100 reviews and do an episode on Face Off already.
Face Off.
On to Birth. Despite the pedigree behind the film, it was savaged by critics at the time of its release, earning a 33% on Rotten Tomatoes, it flopped at the box office, and on top of that, it garnered a lot of controversy over specific scenes, namely that bathtub scene. So, was all the hate and controversy right on the money? Or is Birth a film that deserves to be reevaluated 17 years after its release? Brendan.
Sucked in.
You know what? I'd like, it's so mediocre that I don't understand what the... Like, either way, anyone who's talking about this film, I don't understand it. Like,
it's a waste of time either way. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, why are we doing this? Yeah, I guess I feel like it was very awkward to watch. Mm-hmm. But like, from I guess a line perspective, I don't know. It was just
I didn't like it.
Okay.
I had my kid was up and down last night, so I'm like a bit tired today, and I couldn't work out if it was like that sort of like sinking into my mood, or if this movie was just really frustrating and annoying. But I think
I picture
was
you
bad.
Like, yeah. Like. I picture them sound asleep and you like nudging them so they you have to go.
So I have to wake up. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Hey, Paul, you were sort of hinting that this might be a controversial one. What did you think of it?
Well, I like watching it. I honestly didn't know which way you guys were going to go on it. I thought there was an equal chance that you would love it or hate it.
Because I'll be the first to admit, this is. The sort of like the premise of this is that's a film I like. That's I would like to watch that. You know what I mean? Like kind of mysterious, maybe like element of danger if somebody's lying or blah blah blah. And I just really didn't like it at all.
Yeah, plus like the New York setting, plus the cast behind it as well. Mm. I thought it had the ingredients of a film you guys might like, especially for you, Lucy. Like. The fact that it's a bit more like ominous and not so plot driven and takes its time. I thought that would be up your alley. But I have to say, I'm going to be the one defender on this episode. I really enjoyed Birth. I actually do think it should be reevaluated. It got me hook, line and sinker. Like obviously there's elements of it that I can understand why it rubs people the wrong way, but I just thought as a mood piece, it works really well.
How did you?
No, this whole thing was a close-up of Nicole Kidman's face looking like.
Yeah, Paul, how
for
did you get hooked?
Nearly 2 hours, and she just looked cold all the time. She was just like hideously underdressed for a cold New York winter. It was just annoying. And it was like there was like 100 deleted scenes missing. I'm like, really? We're just not going to have any conversations about this? You guys don't want to rap about this crazy thing that's happening to you? All right, cool. Nah, not here for it. Very overtired. This is.
Look, I just thought.
Rebuttal.
Yeah. I think of all the movies that we watch, one of the big criticisms we have is when these body swaps happen and then somebody tries to convince their friends or their family about the swap, they always, you know, accept it way too easily. This is what would happen if you made the whole film about the person deciding if they're going to believe the person or not if they've swapped. And I thought that was interesting. And I thought the characters, like up until a point, the characters dealt with it in a way that I think real people would have. They questioned it in the way that real people would have.
But, yo, this isn't even a body swap. Mm.
But up until a point, it could be. And
yeah.
Wait. I guess spoilers for the end, unless we're going to do 30-second
Oh, yeah, you've got to do 30 seconds. You should be able to do it really easily because nothing happened in this movie. Yeah.
Okay. So let's say, like, spoilers for Birth, and we'll do the 30 seconds.
Because Paul's recommending everyone watches it for some reason.
It is well triggering to keep hearing you guys be like, oh, Birth, and I enjoyed Birth, and Birth, as someone that just had a child. It's very funny. Yeah.
It was a real easy watch.
Easy watch.
Wait, so you're literally recommending to our audience, do you know how much trust they put in us? Like,
is that a joke? Because it's not. They don't do any. Nobody ever watches these movies.
Oh, I felt so bad. Our lovely listener Ashley actually watched Locos por el Cambio for our episode.
What a legend. Yeah. All right, you ready?
Sorry, Ashley. So everyone knows at home, I have not prepared this. I'm going to ad-lib the plot of this in 30 seconds. Can I do it?
He's
I have
yet
failed
to do it.
Every time. Mm. So this may be the first.
Yeah.
May not be.
3, 2, 1.
Cool. So the movie starts with a guy. He dies while he's on a run, and a baby is born right after that. 10 years later, we cut to Nicole Kidman, who was his wife, and then a little boy rocks up at a birthday party and says that he was the husband that died. She starts hanging around the kid and gets feelings for him, and then we find out that the kid wasn't really her husband because he found letters that the husband's brother-in-law's wife buried that had love letters that detailed their life. Ah, no.
Very close.
You're so confident. You even threw it like, all right, cool. I'm about to start.
Yeah, you've got to cut that out at the start. You've got to get straight to the action.
So, yeah, basically, it's very similar to the film we watched recently, Possession, with Sarah Michelle Gellar, in the fact that it's about a swap. But then you find out the swap never happens. It's just someone found a whole bunch of love letters.
And so then you have an excuse to murder Paul.
We need to come up with a name for this new genre to the swap.
I propose faux swap.
It's faux swap?
You can do better. Mm.
I propose...
It's like a bait and swap or something.
Bait and swap or swap tease.
Swap tease is good. Yeah, that's
good. All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We now deem these as swap teasers. Mm-hmm. I think this is... You got to at least admit that this is a superior swap tease to Possession.
That's granted. But yeah. That's the only concession it's getting from me.
You know what it was for me? It was like all the worst bits of like, I can't pronounce his name, so I'm going to try and then we'll edit it in. Yorgos Lanthimos? Is that how you say it?
Yorgos Lanthimos, yeah.
Yorgos Lanthimos? Like, yeah. It's all the worst parts of his films. The parts that I like bear through for the gold, but the gold wasn't there. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was like mixing that with Chances Are.
Yeah, I can see, like, obviously it does have the elements of Chances Are, of the reincarnation. And
I mean, it really, all we can talk about for me is, like, let's just compare it to other movies. Yeah. So there were some things. It did, you know, borrow from all the things, like the baby being born at the exact same time is like Heart and Souls.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other things? Yeah, Possession, big time Possession vibes. And yeah, the love letters. This is so dumb. So what, this kid is just so suggestible that he's like, I read a letter and now I think I am your dead husband. It's like, get that kid some therapy. That's, well, not they did okay.
He said he did go to therapy.
But I love it. It truly, that to me is just the equivalent of, and then I woke up and it was all a dream. It was like, they were like, oh shit, we don't really know how to end this. Let's just wrap it up. And the kid's like, I guess I've just got a wild imagination. Like,
I do agree. It would have been better if it was a swap, or if they left it vague and let you think it might have been a swap or it might have not been a swap. Like, straight out saying it at the end probably ruined it a bit for me.
What I thought was initially when the sister, who, my God, is that Anne Heche?
Yes.
I did not clock that at all.
Who's Anne Heche?
And I did not.
For our Anne Heche.
Portia, Ellen's old girlfriend. who is she? I can't really remember.
So Anne Heche, she was in Ally McBeal. She was in 6 Days, Seven Nights with Harrison Ford. She would play the main character.
The remake of Psycho?
Remake of Psycho, she played the main character. She was very famous in the 90s.
Okay.
Very famous.
Yeah, I did not look into the cast at all for my tenuous. I refused. But so initially when Anne Heche had sort of a weird conversation with the kid, I was like, oh, what's going on here? Like, I felt like she had got this kid involved to somehow bring down Nicole Kidman's character, something. I thought there was something going on there, so this kid was acting, but it was nothing. I thought that was a real missed opportunity. That would have been a bit more intrigue for me. What do you, did any of you get that vibe? Or
yeah, that's what I thought was going on at first. Mm. I do like when they had their second conversation, she was like, so when I opened the door, I knew you weren't Sean. I knew you weren't him. But I really wish you were. And if you were, I would have explored this. I'm like, what?
Yes, like, back all, off, lady.
All the grown women in this film were so willing to fuck this 10-year-old boy. It was very, like, upsetting.
Yeah, I am not. Someone needs to protect that child actor. This is not for me. It's not good.
Did you guys, I sent you guys an interview link.
Yeah, I watched it, yeah.
Did you watch it, Lucy?
No. Oh, God.
So it was an interview with the actor now that he's 28 years old, reflecting back on filming Birth and that bathtub scene. Mm. And he was, like, super cool with it. He was like, yeah, I had no big deal. He's like, I probably had less of a qualm about doing that kind of scene when I was young than I would now. And he was saying, like, Nicole Kidman had, like, cups over her boobs and like flesh-colored pants on, and so did he, so there was no nudity and he didn't feel that it was weird. So
I feel like the cups and the thing is weird. That, why couldn't she have just been wearing bathers that they edited out? That's weird.
But you could you imagine, like, shooting that scene, the awkwardness of watching it when they add music, they're like cutting back and forth from each other's stares. Whereas in an actual setting of a studio, it would just feel very different. So,
yeah, I mean, I think if I had a kid, I would not be comfortable letting him do that kind of thing.
Hell no! But pretend if you read the script from this.
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess, like, stage parents are a different breed, so that's like whatever the fuck to get their kid on
and
the screen.
I feel like, as well, I feel like the opposite film would never get made, where
it had to be a boy, didn't it?
Yeah
Yes, like, it would be shut down, like, shut down.
And, like, doesn't that tell you everything about, like, maybe y'all should listen to that? Boy or girl, like, gender irrelevant. I don't It's not safe.
there was like, there was a few points in the film that I like literally was screaming at the screen, like, no, like the bit where the kid went in for the kiss and the 10-year-old boy who was played by a 10-year-old boy actually kissed Nicole Kidman on the lips.
And it was like this, I know this is not a visual medium, but he like really reaches slowly
for her face and pulls it down.
And then the scene when she goes to tuck him in and he's naked under the covers, I'm like, I just felt so uncomfortable because I was like, is something going to happen? I don't want it to happen. I was like screaming, like, get away from her, get away.
I would rather watch like the weird stuff in Big a million times than watch this again. This is not good.
Which is really interesting because I watched an actual interview with the writer director. And he was talking about how he was making a film, like he wanted people to like root for this couple, like for them to sit, like. And I was like,
what?
At no time was I like, gosh, I hope this works out.
Yeah, like the scene where she takes him out for an ice cream, and she's like, how are you going to fulfill my needs?
Like, why are you having this conversation?
Have you ever made love to a woman? And I'm like, what? What's going on? And then...
And this is where I find your explanation of the film, like, baffling, Paul. Because you're saying, like, the whole film's about them figuring out or, like, considering whether he is or he isn't. Nicole Kidman has decided... Like, she has immediately decided that this is her husband,
And you know why she's so quick to do that is because her current fiancé is the worst person in the world. This speech at her birthday, is it her birthday or their engagement party?
Engagement.
Is basically he just freely admits to a room full of people, I pestered this woman relentlessly for years. She repeatedly said no to me and I didn't give up. And finally she gave in and now we're getting married. It's like, yeah, that's not romantic. That's like a different thing. And that's not good.
And he's also played by Danny Houston, who is an actor that just makes me feel uncomfortable just looking at his face for some reason. Like every time he rocks up in anything, I just feel gross.
Yeah, but the really good thing about in this movie is that there'll be a lot of close-ups of his face. My God, what? So boring. Now, it's like you're talking about this was in New York. It's like, was it? I thought this was in someone's face. That's where this movie is set.
So you didn't like the scene where they went to the opera and then it just like slowly zooms in on her face and you see her like kind of contemplate what just happened?
Yeah. So I just hate Nicole Kidman so much that I don't want to stare at her face for a 4-minute unbroken shot of her going, like I don't. I'm not here for it. And, like, I don't actually hate her. I'm sure she's lovely and I don't actually hate her, but she's not for me. I'm sorry. And she lives a great life and her and Keith Urban probably roll around in their money and it's I'm really happy for them. But it's not for me. She cannot do an American accent and just will not stop trying.
Being an
American. I'm from the Upper East Side of Australia. Like, I can't bear it.
I never realized you didn't like Nicole Kidman.
And the waddle. She's got this really weird waddle. And what was that wig? What was the wig? Tell me, Paul.
I think it was an homage. It must have been an homage to Rosemary's Baby, which has a lot of kind of similarities in tone. And themes to aesthetics this, I'm guessing. Stuff.
Which also has its own creepy, like, backstory with underage badness. So there you go. She's not my favorite actress.
What did you guys think of Cameron Bright as Sean the Kid?
He has a massive serial killer vibe. Like, I was just waiting for him to, like, pull his gun or something.
It's the haircut, isn't it? But
no, he does have dead eyes. His dead eyes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And the way he just really like confidently delivered his lines, like the, I don't know, there's a weird, I think he was probably the best thing about it, even though I totally hated that he was in that position. And he did do a good job.
Yeah, he was. I think it was a very effective, creepy performance.
Yes.
The fact that the film like explicitly says that it wasn't a swap, it kind of makes sense why he was being so vague with everything he was telling her. That was what was kind of frustrating me. It's like, why aren't you just saying specifics?
But he kind of was making it out like he was just tapping in to these things. Like yeah, he had like just realized. Are. Yeah. And he said,
he's like, tangentially, I'll know, it's coming back.
He's like, I'll know when I see, you know, like she asks him some question and he's like, I'll know when I see, like I'm figuring it out kind of thing.
What did you think of him, Brendan?
I don't mind him. I've seen him in other things as well.
The Twilight movies?
Yeah, all of them.
Oh, was he in that?
Yeah.
But like,
was he in it?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't watched him, but I know that he's in all of them.
Oh, you're not going to tell me the character. Paul, you're telling me you haven't seen Twilight?
Yeah.
I've never seen Twilight.
Oh, my God. That's our new podcast, is Paul Watches Twilight. I'm sorry. We need to stop this right now. Like, what would mine be? What would mine be?
Just watching Pretty Cool Too.
Oh, yeah, we should do Pretty Cool Too.
Yeah, I would say it's more like the direction of the film just, once again, reminds me of like The Killing of the Sacred Deer and The Lobster. Like, I felt like everyone had this weird like cadence to how they talked. It didn't feel human. And same with the kid. Like,
yes.
It just happened across the whole film, you know?
And are you saying that like worked to the advantage, like that it made it creepy or something? Or
I
that
feel like
it,
it can be good, but sometimes it can be bad. So like for Killing of the Sacred Deer, I enjoy it. In this film, I did not. So yeah.
There wasn't anything else in this situation, it did you feel like it was like poorly constructed? Do you know what I mean? Like it.
I guess because there wasn't that like it never like went into this like weird supernatural element really. Like it was all explainable and nothing was happening. So
Like
having these long pauses, having these like long reflective shots, there was no tension to them. And I had to wait for like 20 seconds of zooming in on a face before it moved on to the rest of the non-story.
Oh my God. And do you want to know what the worst bit for me was? When she's trying to explain to, so was it her fiance's brother? Is that who that guy was?
Her ex-husband, her dead ex-husband.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes. So her, yeah. She's just doing it so badly. Like if you were actually on the other end of that conversation, you'd be like, what are you saying to me? Like it was so bad.
I literally wrote down incoherent speech.
Oh, it frustrated me so much. And it felt like a play. It felt like the sort of thing that you go and see and there's literally three people in the cast. Yeah, it just felt real, I don't know,
I got the play vibes as well. And it just brought me back to Prelude for a Kiss. Like that's so often that feeling of Prelude to a Kiss kept coming back up.
Yes.
Like, but do you know like the awkward thing with
dead air?
The awkward thing about the birth play was they'd probably have to get some like 18-year-old guy to pretend to be the 10-year-old, which would add like an extra
layer.
Why
couldn't he just have been 18 and the woman have been like 55?
Because literally there was nothing else going on in the film. Like,
they're like, let's just outrage people by putting a child in danger.
People love pedophiles.
I hate that. I do not put my... No. Do you think this movie could be made again?
I don't know. There is like a big movement to reevaluate this film at the moment, especially since the director, his last movie was Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson. I don't know if either of you guys saw that one, which was like really critically loved. And I think since then, people have been like kind of reevaluating his back catalog, and this is kind of getting that reputation as like a forgotten gem. So
I would like this movie so much better if it was any other actress. She is just so like expressionless, and I feel like she's just so like.
I'm shocked by this. I actually like Nicole Kidman. I think she's really good.
She has no face. Like, her face doesn't move.
It moved a lot more here than now.
Yeah. And that wig, my God, that wig. And she's just, like, so thin and, like, waddling and freezing. She just looked cold and hungry the whole movie.
Yeah, I did question the fact that she was wearing a mini skirt when she went to the funeral.
In snow.
She went to the cemetery in snow and she was wearing a short skirt. I was like, Nobody in New York wears short skirts when it snows.
Who else could you have seen playing it? Or you like Nicole Kidman? Come on, Brendan, you're the tiebreaker here. What do you think of Nicole Kidman?
Leslie Mann.
I'd love to see Leslie Mann in a dramatic role like this. Don't you reckon? Give her a go.
Yeah. I think she could bring it. And we've proven, like, 17 again, she's willing to have these romances with people that are underage, so.
Yeah, let's recast it with Zac Efron and
Leslie Mann. I just don't care who it is. I don't think it would work. It's just, it's meandering. There's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Okay,
like,
so
literally, how easy would it have been for the actors in this to memorize their dialogue? Because they didn't have any.
Paul, stand up for this film that you've recommended to our listeners.
I don't think you really like it. I think you waited to hear that we didn't like it and then you said you liked it just to be au contrarian.
No, it's not true. I did enjoy it. I thought as a mood piece it worked. Thoroughly enjoyed it. No, like... I thought the musical score,
the music was the best thing about it. I actually really liked that refrain. That really helped
at the start. With the tone. I was like, "Oh, are we going to watch a good film?" The sort of the playfulness of him dying, and then the score going down, and I don't know.
It was kind of like this mysterious, but it wasn't completely like scary. It was very sort of I don't know what the word is. Yeah, it was good.
I love the score. I love the way it was shot. I know you guys hated all the like the long shots and the close-ups and the faces, but I actually thought that they were quite beautiful.
Every other film that I've recommended to you that sort of meanders or in a slow and is just like beautiful to look at, you're like, this sucks and is bullshit, but this you like.
I never said this sucks and this is bullshit.
I'm going to stab you up. No. Also, that fiance has get to go when he like rammed the piano. Okay, so what was that concert?
Were they beat like the shit out of a kid?
Were they like auditioning a band for their wedding? Is that what was happening?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's so what rich they people all do. Looked like they all looked like they were at a funeral. Mm. They were like sitting really weirdly spaced out in their own living room. It's looked because like they were doing social distancing like 12 years ago.
It's because everyone in that room knew what was going on between Nicole Kidman and the kid, and they were all awkward as fuck. I thought that was actually quite good.
And then he rammed the piano into the... And then he, like, beat that child.
Because he was so jealous.
Save that child. Yeah, that fiancé's get to go. It's like you're threatened by a little boy. Like, that guy was terrible.
Well, because he was making moves and they were working.
He literally walked in on him in the tub with his wife and him going, and he heard him say to his wife, she goes, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm staring at my wife."
Yeah, okay. But like maybe at that point you just go, "Oh, Nicole Kidman's a freak.
Yeah.
And maybe reconsider your relationship. Has a terrible wig. I'm not going to marry her." Maybe don't beat a child. And also like I just didn't like that.
Because they're all rich people who
I didn't like that happened to that actor. Like, no matter how well choreographed that was, how old was that kid?
No, the getting beaten.
Yeah.
Oh, 10.
Nah, not okay.
Or grabbing him and shaking and yelling him at him while he's in the bathtub as well. That was pretty good.
At least we can have the knowledge that the kid actually grew up normal and doesn't seem to have been traumatized by this.
I think I might have talked about this before, but you know, the girl from The Exorcist didn't really understand what kind of a movie she was in. Like, they were just like, okay, so in this scene, we're going to put a tissue box in between your legs and you just get the cross and you put the cross in the tissue box over and over again. And she's like, okay, like, she didn't really know. Yeah. It's like, what do you think this kid thought was happening in the movie? Like, how much of anything was explained to him?
I feel like he knew everything because, like, you can't get around that. Like, you can't get around the context of those things. She straight out, you see in a shot with both of them in it, she asks him, have you ever made love to a woman? And he has to
respond to that. I guarantee. You know the way he said, you know, like, I'm fine with it, everything's fine, whatever. I guarantee that for the rest of his life, he exclusively dated, like, stronger, older women with red hair. I bet that's, like, a weird imprint to put on a child at such a young age.
We'll have him on to ask him.
I was going to invite him on the podcast, but after this drudging, I don't think...
I'm not saying that he was bad. Just don't invite Nicole Kidman, my God. Anyway, see, she's like, you know, what do I know? Like,
that sucks because I was really going to invite her, and it was really
you can invite her. There's no fucking way she's gonna come. Invite her.
All I can ever remember is when we talked about. When Lindsay Lohan was in Australia. And you said, imagine if Lindsay Lohan came to my house to record the podcast. So good.
Hey, guys. Yeah. One question that we haven't covered. Mm-hmm. What if your significant other came to you as a 10-year-old child and was like, it's me after dying 10 years ago?
Well, I certainly wouldn't do what Nicole Kidman does, especially the part where she's like, it's all good. We'll just run away together in 11 years.
And in 12 years, we'll get married. It's like,
she's like, in 11 years, you'll be 21. I wonder what you're going to look like.
That's so bad.
Also, like, she's like, or just been told as well that, he's like, I'm not your husband. Like, and she's like, no, we're going to run away together.
And also, if this happened to me, Adrian is a good enough man that he would be like, well, this would be a horrible imposition for me to put on Lucy, and I would be ruining her life, and she would never. Yeah, so he wouldn't. He would just live that life as a child.
So you think he would never even approach you about the subject?
Yes.
Yeah. He'd just be like your babysitter. You wouldn't know.
No, he would just do the right thing because he's a good man.
Do you think Katrina would come back and ask you to have sex with her?
No, she wouldn't. I don't think she would do that. She'd come around. She's a pain. She would definitely like... No, she's lovely. She wouldn't do that to me.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now it's time for our favorite segment, Hot or Not. Take it away, me.
Sing it as a 10-year-old child.
Oh, stop. I hate this.
Are they a toot or a... Get away from me, Nicole Kidman.
No, stop.
Are they... Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not. Ding.
Everyone is beautiful in their own way.
We all know Lucy's opinion on this. Nicole Kidman.
I've never wanted like a buzzer more than ever than right now because I want to like buzz in with my answer. Okay, so go.
Nicole Kidman is Anna.
Not.
I'm going to give her a hot. I think she was really pretty in this film.
Oh, and look, she is stunning, and short hair is beautiful, but she looked hungry and cold, and did she even have shoulders or anything below the neck? Because it was just like serving only face, and she just looked terrified the whole time, and you could just see like her mind drifting to being like, oh, I haven't eaten in 6 weeks constantly. Dress for the weather, and that's a no from me, dog.
Actually, sorry, I'm going to reevaluate because I'm just remembered we are supposed to be hot or nodding the characters. And she is a pedophile, so I'm going to give her a not. Brendan?
I maintain no. I'll change my answer.
Oh, now you're coming over to the good side, the light. You've seen the light.
All right.
No, not Nicole Kidman. Lovely, lovely lady, but the character, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Danny Houston as Joseph.
No.
Her fiancé. Yeah, there's something about him, like in American Horror Story, in everything that I've watched him in, he just makes me feel sick. I don't get it. There's something about him. There's something that he exudes that just I hate.
He's
so,
got the perfect, like, wealthy, like, toffee villain
for
look.
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
Mm. Okay, Lauren Bacall as Eleanor, Nicole Kidman's mother.
Beautiful. She's a total Betty at any age, and she was like, you cannot do this. You are bad. You have gone insane. Listen to me. I am your mother. I was friends with Marilyn Monroe. Come on. So, yeah, she gets a hot from me.
Yeah, I'm going to give her a hot. Like, every part of this movie, she was like, don't have sex with the kid. And I'm on board with that. So, hot for Lauren Bacall. Brendan?
Way hot for a stance on child relationships. Like, if we're just talking physically, she is getting up there a bit for me, so I'll give her a nod. She looked great, but yeah.
Yeah, she's a fabulous woman. She's fabulous.
Yeah.
Anne Heche as Clara, so that's the wife of the dead husband's brother that was also fucking the dead husband.
So what is it about this movie that the director or whatever, like, wanted to take everyone as far away from what they look like in real life? Like, I did not clock that it was her.
Really?
Yeah, no, I
didn't think she was that far removed.
Nah. She's normally got, like, a cropped blonde hair. Nah.
Who is this person you guys keep talking about? I'm going to have to Google it.
Live in the 90s. It's the 90s. It's not the 90s. Yeah, she... No, real bad person, like an adulterous bitch, and she didn't look like herself. So that's a no from me.
Yeah, I'm going to give her a no for the fact that she outwardly said she would have had sex with a 10-year-old and the fact that that she was also a dirty cheater and seemed like an all-around awful person. So,
straight up, yeah.
I just looked it up.
Do you really know who she is?
Yeah, she was in 6 Days and 7 Nights.
Paul did say that.
I said that. But
yeah,
you know,
but who remembers
fucking
that film?
Listen to me.
Once you see the poster, then it all comes flooding back.
I don't think I've actually watched the film itself.
Yeah, does she have sex with Robert Redford in that movie? What is that movie?
No, that's Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford and her. Oh. I think that, aren't they on like an island or something? I don't know. I never watched it.
Yeah. Judging by I'm going completely by the poster.
Yeah. Did you say she was in Ally McBeal?
Yeah, she was one of the main characters in Ally McBeal. And
is
she
that
was
how
also...
Harrison Ford and Calista Flockhart met? Oh, my God, I love that. Can we just have the whole rest of the podcast being about that? Are they still together, by the way?
What's she doing these days?
Are they still together?
I think so. I don't know.
She's raising Harrison Ford's children, presumably.
I always think of Anne Heche as the crazy lady in I Know What You Did Last Summer. I think that's her iconic role.
I think of her as the girl I mistaked for Holly Hunter.
Didn't she used to? Oh, that's not fair to Holly Hunter at all. She's... She used to date Ellen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like her most iconic role.
Yeah. All right, so let's finish off with a friend or foe on Cameron Bright as Sean.
Foe. Oh, my God. Run for the hills. This kid is like, he's going to like read your diary and then think he's your dad or something. Like, no. This is like, someone help this child.
Yeah, absolute psychopath. I'm giving him a foe. Like, I hope he gets the help that he needs.
He's got some issues, you know. But at this point in my life, I don't have room for someone like that in my head. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get to Opinion Swap, where we find some interesting reviews of Birth from across the interwebs.
Hurt like hell. Very long labor. No, what?
All right. So this one is from Jake Isgar on Letterboxd. He liked it. He didn't give it a star rating. And he says, Kidman versus Kidman.
That has more in it. That title has more in it than the whole of the movie. I feel more about the title of that review than I do about the movie that we've reviewed.
I have to give it to him. That's a very good review.
Yeah, there's more wit and brevity in that one line than this entire podcast.
All right, so this one is from G2 on IMDb. He gives it 1 out of 10, and he says, "What? I don't see how anyone could like this movie. This has to be one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It's very suspenseful, though. I spent 90 minutes It's very suspenseful, though. I spent 90 minutes waiting for it to end.
Oh, well, there you go. That explains it.
I thought he was going to say, I spent 90 minutes praying that a kid in the, there wasn't a sex scene.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Whoa.
This is from Olivia on Letterboxd, who gives it 1 star. And she says, this kid got more play than Kobe Bryant. Game too nice. Getting all the ladies. Sauce like he got signed to the Lakers.
Yo, like Kobe Bryant has some bad stuff in his... Is that what that's a joke about? I'm not... What?
All right. So this one's from Keith on Letterboxd. He gives it 3.5 stars. And he says, downright staggering Woody Allen didn't get his hands on this script about a Manhattan socialite being wooed by a child. Lucy's just silent. This one finally from Jackson, who gives it 4 stars, and he says, fortunately...
Don't tell me this is going where I think it is.
He says, fortunately, Nicole Kidman did not fuck a child. That's it.
4 stars.
Yeah. Now it's time for Tenuous Recommendations, where we each recommend a movie, TV show, song, album, or book that is connected to today's movie in some way. All right. So I'll start off. My connection is Peter Stormare, and he's the actor that played the dead husband's brother. And he's been in lots of movies. I'm not going to recommend one of his movies. I'm going to recommend a PlayStation 4 game that he actually starred in called Until Dawn.
I didn't know we could do PlayStation 4 games. I would have been recommending all the games that I game.
So this is a game that I would recommend to anyone, even if you don't usually play games.
Like me.
It's, yeah. Because what it is, it's more of an interactive story than a game. And it's a slasher. It's basically a slasher movie where you control the decisions of all the teenagers that go to this cabin in the woods and determine if they're going to survive or die from this serial killer that's hunting them all down. And The game's actually got a pretty impressive cast. So it's got Peter Stormare in it, Jordan Fisher, who's become a bit of a celebrity now, and Hayden Panettiere, plus Oscar winner Rami Malek before he won his Oscar. So they've all got like motion capture performances. So all the characters look like the actors that are playing them.
I just want
the graphics are really cool.
I just want to watch the movie of that. That sounds fun.
Yeah, but it is really cool. Like, and it's a good game. Like, if you don't like playing as well, you could always just get someone to play next to you, and it's just like watching a movie anyway. But you just get to make decisions for the characters. It's really creepy. If you play it, you know, by yourself at night, you will jump. And it's just a really fun game. It goes for like 3 or 4 hours. It's not a huge commitment. And I'm pretty sure it's pretty cheap now that it's been out for a while. So, definitely give Until Dawn a go on PlayStation 4.
Mm.
Lucy, what's yours?
So I was just getting like the theme vibe. I started to make this connection straight away. So I'm doing this documentary called The Imposter. Has anybody seen it?
I have seen. That's the one about the son, like they think their son's returned to him. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, came out in 2012. Have you seen it, Brendan?
I think the one – I know the one you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like this guy gets found in Spain by the police and he says, I'm, like, missing. And, you know, he says he's this missing boy from America and he gets sent back there and he has the wrong color eyes and hair and he's like 10 years too old and he has a French accent and so he's like a con man. But the family's like, yeah, it's him. So all of a sudden he's like, what the fuck? Like, what did these people do to the boy that's missing? Like, it's this thing of like, who knows who's lying? And yeah, like a real psychological, this guy's like a... what's the word I'm looking for? Like, he can't stop lying. Like, he's always impersonating people.
Compulsive liar.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's just like a real weird situation and so creepy. And, as soon as it was sort of like, oh, what the fuck's this kid doing? It made me think of that documentary. Yeah, The Imposter.
Cool. Good recommendation.
Oh, damn. I really wanted to be like telling you all about it and you guys had never heard of it before and I was like blowing your minds, but you guys were like, yeah, whatever.
No, but our listeners, they're the ones who will be, like, excited.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like if you guys have seen it, they definitely will too.
They're too busy watching Locos por el Cambio. Brendan, what's yours?
So as I said last time, I understand Paul's frustration, and I know he got really upset that I recommended something that I hadn't seen. So this time I'm sticking by the rules. I understand how it works. So I'm just going to do a simple connection between Danny Houston. Is that his name?
Yeah.
He was in Marie Antoinette.
Yes.
Which was also starring a Matthew Marrick, who also was in a little film called Sound of Metal. Have any of you guys seen this one?
You can't do my recommendation from the last episode.
Wait a second. I've seen it. I'm allowed to recommend it, right?
But I've already done it. It's against the rules.
Is this like a fake out? Do you have another one? He's going to get so mad, Brendan.
Paul, you just keep on raising the bar. You make it impossible. Like,
the bar has not been raised. The bar is at the exact same place it was 4 fucking years ago when we started this goddamn podcast.
Yeah, it's like a podcast host walks into a bar because it was so low.
Look, all right. So another film I thought of was a film called Cyrus with Marissa Tomei and Jonah Hill and that other guy. What's his name? Do you know the movie I'm talking about, Paul?
I think I've seen it.
Let me have a look.
How is it connected thematically?
Tenuously, it has some very awkward sort of relationship between a mother and a son.
John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly.
And it's a Duplass brothers
movie. And Catherine Keener as well.
Yeah, I have seen this movie, but I can't tell you anything about it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's about John C. Reilly's character is on the dating scene again after, you know, being divorced for a while. And basically he meets this girl, Marissa Tomei, and she's great. However, her relationship with her son and herself is quite close. And basically Jonah Hill being the son, he's of age though, so it's a little less awkward.
This is the king of Staten Island. That's what you're talking about. Keep going.
See, well, yeah. So basically, he's sort of trying to destroy this relationship without like giving it away to his mother, while John C. Reilly is trying to like befriend the kid, even though he's trying to like destroy the relationship. And so it's very funny. It's a very weird dynamic. There's a scene where Marissa Tomei's in the shower and Jonah Hill walks in, and it's all cool. And that's what reminded me of this film. That's my 10 years link.
What weird shower parent things. Oh my god.
Where are we ranking Birth among the movies that we've covered on the podcast?
I had mine sorted out like immediately.
Does that mean it's at the very bottom?
It's not the very bottom. I just knew that this reminded me of Prelude to a Kiss so much, except it didn't have a hilarious scene where an old man comes out of the corner with a knife. So it goes below Prelude to a Kiss and just above A Christmas Swap.
Wow, that's so low. Lisi?
I would put it in between A Christmas Trade and Possession. So it was a lot like Possession. It was a tiny bit better.
All right, I'm going to put it in the middle of the pack, I think, of mine. So I'm actually putting it in between
Ice Angel,
Every Day and the
Whoa,
Swap.
Whoa, that's way too high, Paul.
Every Day and the Swap.
Okay, so you think it's better than Child's Play?
Yeah. Look, I don't think it's that ridiculous a thing. Like, there's a lot. This film has a lot of pedigree behind it.
Yeah, I think that you're just like chasing clout or something. There, that's not doth not a good movie make. No,
I think there's a lot to actually appreciate in this film. And I'm not going to like die on this hill. I totally get why you guys hate it so
much.
Yeah,
you're not going to... You are going to die on it because I'm going to murder you on it.
Murder
you on the hill.
Next episode.
Go on, Brendan. Brendan's guest, what it is.
It's gonna be a go-go dancer who swaps bodies with a male escort because there's a sex scene in it because I saw the corner of the box.
Wrong. Okay, so I am actually very enthusiastic about this next one. I really wanted us to do it, and it was unavailable everywhere on the internet, so I actually ordered the DVD so that we could do this. Because it's been a while since we've done a Baldwin Brothers movie. And
is this called Baldwin? It's just all the Baldwins switching lives.
I so wish it was that.
That's actually genius and would be so good, and someone should contact them.
Copyright right now.
So we've done Alec Baldwin and we've done William Baldwin, was it?
Are you doing the other Baldwin?
So this
is there
time,
like two more, right?
There's so many, but this time we're doing another Baldwin that we haven't done before, Stephen Baldwin. so we'll see if he can be the superior Baldwin in this body swap war. But what if I told you, right? What if I described a film that's a science fiction film described as Face Off meets The Matrix? And then what if I told you that film was by the director of Empire Records? And what if I told you it was starring Twin Peaks Kyle MacLachlan? Would that
Paul, feel... don't get me excited for this
one. I feel like if it was good, we would have heard of it.
Heard of
this
it.
Is like the black hole of their IMDb's. So, no.
But those things, like, right.
Those are very...
These are appealing things.
This movie had Lauren Bacall in it. Do you hear me?
Well, anyway, we are watching the 2000 sci-fi movie Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'll show you the.
They weren't go-go boots.
And it's literally like exchange.
Yeah. Ooh. And in this film.
Oh, no.
In the future, where it's faster to travel by exchanging bodies with someone at the destination, a man's body is hijacked by a ruthless terrorist. Face Off meets the Matrix.
That's actually a cool concept.
I actually had a really good thought as well, in that we could just do Alec Baldwin's life where his wife swaps into the body of a Spanish person that she lied about being for 10 years. Anyone on the current affairs with that? You don't know about that, Brendan?
No? Tell me what happened.
She just pretended to be Spanish. And she's straight up American, and she just got found out.
I feel like if they do make that movie, you're going to have to get a Spanish person to direct it and write it, or else it's going to be extremely problematic.
I'm not suggesting that someone make a film out of it. I'm just saying we should just do an episode on where we talk about the fact that her name's Hillary and she called herself Ilaria and said she didn't know what the English word for cucumber was when she is an American woman. We got to talk. We got to send Brendan all the clips. It's so good.
I must confess, I do pretend I'm I'm from America when I work.
What?
Subconsciously, I've started putting on an American accent when I work. And like, I don't know why. I feel like it was my friend was down from California and I must have been like, that sounds great. And when I talk to customers, this like this Americanized version of me pops out and people seem to receive it well. So
this is so bad.
Anyway, I'm excited about next episode, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we can organize it so we can watch the movie together.
Yay.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
No, Brendan, no.
You're not good at that accent either. Can I just tell you, everybody knows that you're not from California.
So, I had an awesome idea for the Baldwin's film. Instead of it being a body swap, it's got to be, it's sort of like Multiplicity, except each copy is a copy of a copy. And so with each Alex Baldwin being copied, it gets
Alex
less.
Alex Baldwin? Alex?
So Alec Baldwin is like the original, and each copy of him is one of the Baldwin brothers,
because it gets the prestige. Like
degraded and worse with each copy.
That's the prestige.
I feel like as soon as people start listening to this segment of the episode, our listener numbers are just going to drop.
But my thing about Ilaria Baldwin, that was, come on, that was good content.
Yeah, I agree.
What about me and my weird psychological issues?
Boo! All right. Until next time, review us on iTunes or you're a literal piece of shit. Shit, even more of a piece of shit than Brendan's American accent. And I was Paul Mitzi.
And I was Lucy Thomas.
I was Brendan Levi.
No. All right, see you, bye.
Bye.
The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.